Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, how are you? Friday, May 24th, we're heading into the first holiday weekend of summer 2019. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here. Steve will be there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And as always, our Friday edition brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury. You got what you need for your cookout, beverages, snacks, ice. That's your stop, Brewers Outlet. Awesome special through Tuesday. Coors and Coors Light 30-pack cans, $16.95. Smirnoff 24-pack bottles, $25.99. So get your drinks, your water, soda for the kids, pickles, fresh roasted peanuts, hot sauces too, and so much more. Easy and convenient carry out at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Stop in this weekend. Get what you need for, well, not just cookout. You got hoops tomorrow night, Eastern Conference Final, Milwaukee, Toronto. Toronto has a chance to close it out tomorrow night. Move ahead against Golden State in the NBA Finals, which will start on Thursday. Indianapolis 500 on Sunday. And lots of baseball. So make sure you got the beverages when you need them, thanks to Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. And thanks to everybody that subscribed to our Steve Jones Show podcast, which, of course, is free. You can subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Hit subscribe, and once our shows air live on WKOK, we drop them right into your mobile device so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. So you got some chores to do around the house this weekend, tackle the lawn, plug into our podcast, put your headphones on, and check out some of the shows you may have missed. And also, you can always access 3 months of shows. We've got them on the podcast archive page at stevejonesshow.com. So we'll be talking hockey. The Stanley Cup Final starts Monday, Boston and St. Louis. And hockey historian Bob Grove will be joining us later on the show. Break down the Stanley Cup Final. And of course, we never, never, never start the weekend until we hear from the king, the most interesting man in the East Coast. Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, will check in from Connecticut at 4:35. So we're with you live till 5. And then we'll have our late-day news roundup. Taylor Schultz, the anchor desk this afternoon. All right. And then tonight we've got Phillies baseball. 7:35 will be the on-deck time. And first pitch, 8:10, as the Phillies look for their second consecutive victory. They open up a three-game weekend set on the road against the Brewers. The Phillies are able to salvage a split of a four-game series. 9-7 yesterday against the Cubs.
I didn't think I'd be
sweating bullets after at one point they were leading 7-0 in the fourth inning.
No, that's all right. It's the Cubs. You're not exactly facing a, you know, this is
cellar
dwellers. Not the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Miami Marlins. Look, for the most part, I like how they're playing. Are they the best team in the National League? No. Are they the best team in baseball? No. But you know what? I actually like the way they're playing.
Yeah, you got Gene Segura. He's now got a 14-game hitting streak.
But when they acquired him, I told you, I thought he was a really good player.
Yes.
I thought that was a massive upgrade. Oh, what about J.P. Crawford? Can't hit to save his soul. But I think that the... I think they're really good. At some point, Harper might carry them for a period of time. I think a lot of fans are hoping and waiting for that to happen. But Rhys Hoskins is good. Segura's been good. The starting pitching, for the most part, has been pretty good. The Phillies, I think, are a good team. I think they're fun to listen to. And Scott does a great job anyway. But they're fun to listen to. You feel like every single game you go into, the Phillies are at the point now where every single game you go into, you think they can win all of them, right? And you're disappointed when they don't. As opposed to the way it used to be, I hope they can win, and if they lost, you went, oh, well. Now, you're disappointed when they lose. That's where they are.
Oh, yeah, you just kind of just hope they can hang on to the lead like yesterday. You know, you're almost blowing the 7-0 lead they had in the fourth inning and going through quite a few more pitchers in the bullpen that you really don't really like, especially on days when you got Aaron Nola up on the bump.
Right, exactly. You know, you've got your ace out there. Yeah. And he's your ace. Lacrosse tomorrow, national semifinal. It's going to be...
Speaking of Philadelphia.
Yes, it'll be at the Link. It'll be Duke and Virginia first. Then Penn State and Yale scheduled for 2:30 tomorrow. Was there yesterday when they exited. They had a nice little going away group for them. James Franklin came over, among others, to be there for that. They're an exciting team. And they... I always love defense wins championships. In this decade, yeah, you need defense. There's no question. But why do we always talk about it's great to play with the lead? How do you get the lead? Well, you get the lead by playing offense. And Penn State, yes, has played very well defensively, but their offense has been dynamic. They're a 20-plus goal-a-game team. They've been terrific. And, of course, we had Jeff Tambroni on the show on Monday talking about this.
Well, they've got kids with great hustle, and I, after you seeing them last Sunday, I would think tomorrow just keep doing what they're doing, right?
Yeah, look, it's the only team that beat them. Yale beat them in the fifth game of the season, 14-13. Yale's the defending national champion. All right. But Penn State now knows what they need to do stylistically against this team. They only scored 13 goals against them. That should tell you volumes about Yale's defense. But Penn State is now become even better offensively. And Jack Kelly, Mac O'Keefe's an awesome goal scorer. Grant Amon is a great distributor. Okay. All right. And Nick Spillane. Yeah. But I'll tell you a guy that I think is something else, and that's Jack Kelly. Jack Kelly, who does not practice during the course of the week. Yesterday they're walking out, and Jack's got the, as usual, Jack has the boot on the foot. As usual. And by the time Saturday rolls around, he'll be running around out there like it's nothing. He is not the first option, but he's a really good option. They do it. You know, in basketball, we talk all the time about the ball sticking, right? It becomes a problem, the ball sticking. Like the Milwaukee Bucks in what might be one of the single most boring Eastern Conference finals I've ever watched. Like, what the heck am I watching here? I mean, you got to give Toronto and Milwaukee credit. They go through stretches where they're just flat out playing bad basketball. You got to give them credit. I mean, it's like, wow, the greatest players in the world. And it's like, that's bad. Milwaukee, the ball sticks all the time. Now let's take it to lacrosse. You watch Penn State. And what you said is so true, Sean. They hustle, hustle, hustle. So he could, I mean, the hustle stuff comes up statistically in ground balls. The hustle comes up statistically in faceoffs won. But it's more than that. You see how they play the hustle of it? And they really play hard. Well, the ball doesn't stick with them. It's bang, 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 bang. It's, you know, and they get the defense moving so much that now they finally get to the point where the person that gets it has a shooting lane. That's, you know, they're very impressive in that way. And Colby Knieze has done a great job in the net. Yeah, I mean, I thought he was terrific, especially in the first quarter on Sunday. Okay. Is Roger Penske in the building?
No.
What do you mean, no? Is he already in Indy?
Could be. I haven't seen him at all today. That end of the building has been extremely quiet today. The barbecue must have started before 11 this morning.
Yeah, so I sent out a Facebook message on winning Award 4 or whatever it was.
What, today? Oh.
No, yesterday or whatever it was.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I was going to say, if something was posted this morning, I've been... No time for Facebook for the first part of the day for this guy.
What? So you're working?
Yeah.
He's at a barbecue.
I don't know. I'm just kind of tossing that out there if maybe he wants... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he might be at the movies again.
That's true.
Oh, wait.
Aladdin's out this weekend. That's right. With Big Willie style. Will Smith in the role of Aladdin.
Yes. By the way, Mark Emmert between September 1st, 2017 and August 31st, 2018, 1 year, Mark Emmert pay went from $2.4 million a year to $3.9 million a year. A $1.4 million it was described as a one-time deferred payment that was within his contract. That's a 60% increase in compensation. If I could do, if anybody on the planet could do the job, a job that poorly, and get a 60% increase in compensation, you're a magician.
I needed a good laugh today.
I mean, I found that unbelievable.
That's unreal.
I mean, the fact that he is still sitting in that chair, I mean, I'm honest with you. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Now, in the year, let's give credit where credit's due. He did do, you know, in response to what was happening in college basketball, he put together that Blue Ribbon Committee. A lot of highly accomplished people on it. And in a six-month period, they put together a report and also put forward some pretty good suggestions. Yet, a year later, there's no evidence at all that what they've done is improve what's going on, even though it was, on paper, it was good suggestions. Now, who knows how they're going to handle with everything that's gone on with trials? I don't know. And who knows if this is a response to the TV contracts that are being negotiated with CBS and TNT. I mean, you look at Jim Delaney, $5.5 million a year. Well, look at the TV contracts he negotiated. Each school is scheduled to get, you know, the 12 that will get a full cut, because Maryland Rutgers won't. Each school is scheduled to get $54 million. I remember that it wasn't long ago they cracked 30 and were high-fiving each other. So, I mean, to me, just on television negotiations? $5.5 million. Now, Larry Scott, his television negotiation is not as great. $5 million. John Swofford, ACC, $3.3 million. Bob Bowlsby, Big 12, $3.1 million. And Greg Sankey of the Southeastern Conference gets $2 million. Look at all the money they're making. He's a bargain. There's no doubt that the optics that you see with Mark Emmert and the pay raise, even though it's built into the contract, it's allegedly a one-time thing. When you see a 60% raise, you're going to have, obviously, that growing contingent out there saying that players should be paid. This will bolster their argument, with all due respect to Mark Emmert. Because they're going to say, well, he's getting this, he got a raise to that. What about the people who play? You see what I'm saying here. I've been all for money made on likeness and have not been big on directly paying them. And my reason for that is other sports. Because, again, if you start paying football and men's basketball players, which would be the primary ones that would get paid, I mean, let's be honest about it. They're the only sports that are making money. That, how do you do it? How do you balance your budget? Well, you balance your budget by cutting something. And I want to see other sports cut. That's always been where I've wrestled and grappled with paying college athletes. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Ooh, stock up for Memorial Day weekend. Stock up for that barbecue. Now, who would be at a barbecue today, Sean?
Our guy. Maybe.
Stock up for the World 600. Is there another race that day?
Should be Sunday night, right, from Charlotte? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got the trifecta. Of course, you got Monaco Grand Prix on Sunday morning.
Right, then you can kind of take the afternoon off and then get to the 600, right?
That's right.
That's not funny. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Yeah! Brewers Outlet has Coors and Coors Light 30 packs for just $16.95. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, by the way, on the workout trail, next up for Josh Reeves is actually tomorrow. He's going to work out for the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow. This is after he worked out with the Celtics earlier this week. Q Weatherspoon from Mississippi State is going to be his grouping tomorrow. So Josh works out for the Hornets tomorrow.
And it was Lamar Stevens in Sacramento earlier this week, correct?
Yes, it was. And Lamar has until Wednesday to declare what he is doing with his future. Okay? That's where we are. Bob Grove on the Blues-Bruins Stanley Cup Final. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all
applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, stock up for the Memorial Day weekend right now. Come on, get in the car. It's an easy trip over to Sunbury. Come on. Great specials now through Tuesday, too. You may have heard Corey say over and over again, Coors and Coors Light 30-pack cans, $16.95. Also, Smirnoff 24-pack bottles, $25.99. That's great. You may love wine coolers, water, soft drinks. You want plenty of snacks. And the pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, the esteemed dynamic duo, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Hey, you want great deals on cars? You want the best dealership, best people to deal with, great service department? Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In the next half hour, we will run down the bowl games for the upcoming season. There are 17 bowl games between the national semifinals and the national championship game. 17 between the semifinals and the championship game. How about that? One of the all-time heroes of the suit, Lance Armstrong, right? Said, quote, about what he did, "It wasn't legal, but I wouldn't change a thing." That's our guy right there, in a nutshell. We did what we had to do to win.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Sounds like an art sport.
Armstrong said, quote, "We did what we had to do to win. It wasn't legal, but I wouldn't change a thing, whether it's losing a bunch of money, going from hero to zero." He says, "I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change the way I acted. I mean, I would, but this is a longer answer. Primarily, I wouldn't change the lessons that I've learned. I don't learn all the lessons if I don't act that way. I don't get investigated and sanctioned if I don't act that way." It's, again, sounds to me like, hey, look, he did what he had to do to win, so he did it. When they sanctioned him, I thought he was going to go to the nearest bridge.
Lance Armstrong?
No. I mean, I had to talk him off the ledge when this happened. You know, and I'm trying to do it on the air, and I just don't think on-air psychology sounds good. All right. We'll talk about the number of bowl games coming up and the dates of them, when they're going to start, how it's going to play out in the next half hour. But first, the Stanley Cup Final is coming up. It is the Bruins and the St. Louis Blues starting on Monday in Boston at TD Garden. With us, our hockey analyst, Bob Grove from Pittsburgh. Hello, Bob. Great to have you with us, as always.
Steve, great to be on with you, as always. Happy Memorial Day to you and to your listeners.
Happy Memorial Day to you. All right, so we end up with the Blues and the Bruins, and you and I both know that NBC will take the simplistic route, and we'll see the Bobby Orr goal many times.
I was going to say over under of 100, but yes.
Over under of 100, absolutely. And I mean, I watched it live. So, like,
yeah.
It was incredible. Derek Sanderson, they put the fourth line out there, Derek Sanderson. And they got it done. Okay, so now that you've got, let's talk about the Blues. We talked about this before, about when Binnington was inserted, because they had the worst record in the NHL in January. From Binnington out, what changed?
Well, you know, aside from Binnington giving the team the confidence that they needed, because they obviously were not feeling it at all, they weren't playing well. You know, I don't think that team, when you watched them back then, I think they were just waiting for bad things to happen. But I think you've cut the season in half from January 3rd when they were in last place. So if you look at the second half of the season, I think. Look, Tarasenko was good.
Yep.
I think, you know, Braden Schenn was, he is so, I just love his approach. He doesn't put up big numbers, but I felt like the team started to slot into they found a role, each of them, to contribute to the, to maybe before they weren't doing, like Ryan O'Reilly for me, maybe he was trying to do too much. And Pat Maroon, you know, who everybody had given up on, you know, found a way to make things happen on the bottom six. And I just felt like Craig Berube needed a couple of weeks, because let's remember, when they named him coach,
right,
they did not instantly turn around. In fact, the next 6 weeks were problems. But I got to give him a lot of credit, because he didn't panic. I don't think Doug Armstrong, the GM, didn't panic. They didn't wheel and deal guys. Petrangelo got his trade bait. So I think there was a level of patience that came from management. There was a level of Berube getting the same message in night after night after night and keep harping on it. And as I said, I think the players, because there wasn't a ton of change over, they found a way to get a role, to seize on it, and you got to give. This is why I think Berube's going to win Coach of the Year, the Jack Adams Trophy. I can't see him not winning it.
There was a point against San Jose where they lost the game on the hand pass, which is not, just so everyone knows, that's not a reviewable play. Can't review it's a hand pass. But it's obvious that it was a hand pass, and the four missed it.
Mm-hmm.
What did it tell you about St. Louis that they went to San Jose right after that, and then won, then came back and closed it out?
Well, this is where Berube, I think, had his most critical point. You know, look, you saw the Blues on the ice after that game.
You're furious.
Binnington was almost chasing the officials around. He was slamming his stick against the glass. There was a disbelief on the part of the Blues that the league was going to allow this to happen when everybody could see. So after those guys in there, before they hit the media, and he tells them two things. Number one, forget about it. Just forget about it and move on. And number two, don't cry about this with reporters right in tonight. Just don't even go there.
Right.
Just think about the next game. And look, quite frankly, that's a message that pretty much every coach would deliver. So I'm not giving him any marks for creativity. What I am saying is this team believes in him, and nothing demonstrated that more than the fact that they didn't whine about it after the game, and they never lost another game in the series. And that is all to me. Yes, it's on the leadership of the guys in the room, but a lot of that is the way that Craig Berube delivered that message, because it absolutely hit home with every one of those guys. And if they win the cup, that's the moment they're going to look back on and said that was the turning point.
Can you have too much time off between a series?
Yes, and the Bruins will have too much time off. Their last game was the 16th, and they don't play till the 27th. It's crazy. There's nothing much could be done because of arena availability. It's too much time. And this is why I think game one for the Blues is twice as important as normal, because this is a game I think even they have a couple days more off than they're used to having. But I expect the Bruins have had inter-squad scrimmages. You know, Marchand got shaken up the other day, but he was fine. But I mean, they're trying to get these game type situations brewing amongst themselves, and they're trying to do something that's aside from a regular practice. So they're trying, but there's nothing like a game, and I think game one is the Blues have got to win that one.
You and I both know the players know it's a scrimmage.
Yeah.
Know it's a scrimmage, right?
Yep.
I mean, so it's not you can try hard with that, but they know.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much else you can do. You're never going to put them against somebody else where someone can get hurt. You know, find a team to play, you know, find a local team, a college group, or, you know what I'm saying? You can't go there. This is about the most you could do to try and get your team going. But he's got to be concerned about it because it's a long time off, and especially for Tuukka Rask, the goaltender.
Tuukka Rask is the next topic anyway. When you watch him, look, Tuukka Rask has had some brilliant moments in his career and then inexplicably has games where you sit back and say, okay, who kidnapped him?
It's true. It's true.
Why has he been consistently good, in your opinion, during this entire run?
Well, I think most of this is mental. I there are a lot of people around the NHL and hockey, you know, Steve, who are waiting for exactly what you just described. Is it going to happen to him in the finals? Like, sort of, we know it's coming. Doesn't it always come? Doesn't it always happen to him?
Yeah.
So I got to say that there's something about his focus. That this guy has been dialed in for, forget about one game, two games, one series. He's been dialed in now for a month and a half. I'm so impressed. And you know, some of the post game interviews I've seen him do on TV, he doesn't have a lot to say, and it's just like he's not letting his mind go outside the parameters he's built for it, which is just, you know, keep it simple, do the best I can, support my club, and I'm really impressed with it. I don't see one of those games coming for him, quite honestly.
If the Bruins win game one, what do you think the outcome of the series is? If the Blues win game one, what's the outcome of the series?
Well, I'm pulling for the Blues, okay? But I think the Bruins are going to win the series. I think some of these guys obviously have been there before,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
You know, so, you know, Chara got banged up at the end of the last series, got some time off. That's one guy who really the time off will benefit. But look at that Bergeron line. So I just look at this Boston team, and I look at how sound they are defensively. I think Cassidy does a really good job keeping them focused and knowing which buttons to push with them when things aren't going well. My emphasis on game one is if the Blues are going to have their best chance to win it, they've got to win game one.
I agree.
But even if they do win it, I still think Boston's got to be the favorite, but I'm pulling for St. Louis.
Right. And by the way, Patrice Bergeron, I think very quietly, has put together an outstanding run in this playoff. Because, I mean, Marchand, because of how he plays, gets a lot of attention. And then all of a sudden you look down and go, well, you mean Bergeron scored two more? Really?
I mean, he's incredible. See, I'm telling you what, this guy is... I hesitate to say he's underrated because everybody knows who he is. This guy's going into the Hall of Fame. This guy's he's a classic, just a two-way. He's smart. He brings it every night. He scores. He's unbelievable in the face-off circle. He's great defensively. He just keeps going. And I can remember years ago when he had this concussion. It was really, really bad, and people were concerned his career was over. And he came back. And I got to tell you, if I could pick one guy to play, you know, if I had to put together a team to play a game seven, Patrice Bergeron would be on it.
Right.
He'd be one of the first guys I'd pick. You know, I'd pick Sid and I'd pick Bergeron. I have incredible respect for what he's done in his career. And you're right. And he's just been great.
I want to ask you a couple quick Penguins questions. Phil Kessel, rumors, and they're just rumors, about circulating about a possible deal with the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
When you look at Phil Kessel and then the other guy that's been rumored is Jack Johnson, what's your opinion on moving both?
Well, as we've talked before, Kessel's the logical trade candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's whether it happens right now to Minnesota or not, it's going to happen before the end of the summer. Jack Johnson was not really a meaningful contributor to the team. He's not as bad as the people in Pittsburgh. A lot of them are just crazed. They can't stand him. He's been okay. He's not been a big contributor to the team, and he's always movable. Everybody's tradable. He's not making a ton of money. Yeah, he has 4 years left, and this is proof of it. We'll see if he moves. It's not going to hurt. If they need help, they need to help their speed on defense. Moving him out of the way will help because he's not very speedy. And moving Kessel, and if it is for a guy like Zucker who doesn't score to the level of Kessel, but he's 4 years younger, makes a little bit less, and he brings you so much more when he doesn't have the puck that you don't get out of Kessel. So we'll see the way it goes, Tom.
Well, I will disagree with you. Everybody's tradable because I'm not in the mood to trade you. All right, so.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I love being on your show.
Bob, thanks so much. You have a great holiday weekend. We will catch up as this series goes along.
Very good. Thank you.
Bob Grove joining us from Pittsburgh. We'll come back with more in a moment. Yes, all the bowl games, 17 of them this year between the national semifinals and the championship game. We'll explain how it's going to play out next half hour on News Radio 1070. WKOK brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet.
Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Yeah, Brewers Outlet has Coors and Coors Light 30 packs for just $16.95. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Memorial Day weekend. Time to stock up. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Yeah. Coors and Coors Light 30 packs. Just $16.95. Smirnoff 24-pack bottles, $25.99. And you may want wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They have all of it. Peanuts are fresh, hot, and the bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, who else would lead? Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. In the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Minnesota Twins hit 8 home runs last night. It is the fourth time this season the Twins have had at least 6 home runs in a game. 4. They hit 8 last night. 4 times 6 home runs or more in a game. The rest of Major League Baseball combined has 3. The Dodgers have done it once, the Yankees have done it once, and the Cubs have done it once. 8 home runs in a game. That's the fourth time they've done it this year. That's amazing. And the Twins have the best record in baseball. You'd never know it. You'd never know it. You would know a lot about LeBron commenting on this or having a meeting with this player here, but you wouldn't know the Minnesota Twins have the best record in baseball because they aren't glamorous enough for the four-letter network to talk about. You need to have glamour these days for them to talk about you. Last night, for example, one of the headlines this morning on the four-letter network was Yelich and Rodgers drink beer at Bucks game.
Yeah, they weren't even 10 minutes into the 7 a.m. Sports Center this morning, and they were talking about that.
Well, I won't even watch it anymore. I mean, when you take a guy that's a real sports fan, you know how much I love every sport.
I mean, I'm not talking about Get Up. I'm not talking about the Get Up show. I'm talking about the 7 a.m. Sports Center.
Right.
Yeah.
And you lose me?
Yeah.
What does that tell you about the job you're doing? Okay, if you've lost me watching your shows, I do not care what they think about anything or how they go about it. Now, games, I'll watch games all over the place on ESPN. Major League Baseball, Monday Night Football, college basketball, lacrosse is tomorrow. I'll watch, if it's a game on ESPN, I absolutely will watch.
Actually, on ESPN.com earlier this afternoon, it was still listed as one of their top headlines, but then when the news came down that Pac-Man Jones retired from the NFL, then it got bumped from the top six.
No.
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
Pac-Man. Game over.
Hey, but that was a headline. I don't care. There are 19,000 people at the game. A lot of them drank beer. I mean, what? As far as I'm concerned, how they cover sports, I mean, I tell the kids in my class, like, you got to do what you can to survive at your job. So I understand that. But idealistically, what they do is, I'm sorry, that's not the way you do the job. It's just not.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.